Hello, folks. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I am filling in today from Elder Seastrom. This is Financial Survival, and we're so glad you're with us today, and I do mean that. I sincerely do. I really feel inadequate to do Melody's program for her, but she trusts me. I'll do the best I can to fill you in on today's political news and economic news as best I possibly can. And right after I get through the markets and the gold and silver prices, we're going to go to Wendy Wilson, of course, at the Pocket of the Herbs to discuss what she wants to share today. I think you'll find today's topic very interesting. But let's move on with the precious metals, okay? Gold had a little bump in the right direction today, up 577 to 1834.63. Broke a $1,800 mark and doing fairly well. Silver had a bump up, about 10 cents, 23.30. Platinum, also 703 up, 1,038.65. And palladium had a good day, 41.54 up to 22.85.77. So metals had a good day. And I expect that's going to keep on climbing, folks, as time goes on. Obviously, I think that's true. The Dow, I guess they had a good day also, is up 0.77%, 274.41 to 35,737. The NASDAQ was also up 1.83%, 259.11 up to 14,453. And S&P was up 1.30%. 58.88 up to 45.80, so the markets had an up day. And also did the overseas markets, by the way. The Nikkei, the Hang Seng, and the FTSE DAX were all up. So it's a good sign, I guess, market-wise, that worldwide they're going up a little bit. Japan had a huge uptick at 298.55 up to 27.579. The Hang Seng was up 510.80 to 24.829. The London FTSE was up 77.12 to 76.43. And Germany was up 243. The DAX was up to 15.482. The 10-year yield was minus 0.02 to 1.93. The oil was actually, it's back up. It was down a little bit. It's back up. It's up 0.63% at 89.92. So a little slump in oil under $9 range. But I promise you, folks, it's not going to stay there. So the markets overall were up. Metals were up today. It's a good time, folks, to buy metals because prices are going to continue climbing over a period of time. I can guarantee that. No matter what the markets do, metals will never go to nothing. A lot of things will go to nothing, including the dollar. But metals never will because they're absolutely something that has to be worked for, produced, and it's just something that they can't go to nothing. Paper will go to nothing because it's just printed. But precious metals won't. Let's go to today's guest, as always, Wendy Wilson, and she has a very interesting topic today. Wendy, are you there?
Hey, Pastor Butch. Nice
good
to be
have
with you.
Good
oh,
to have you.
I thought we'd talk about some additional risks to using antibiotics today. Some new research came to light. You know, a lot of people, Pastor Butch, are familiar with, you know, the digestive imbalance you can get when you take antibiotics. You may even get yeast infections.
Oh, yeah.
So this is very common. Now, this is some new research, though, November 2019 from Finland, that is saying that certain oral antibiotics can put patients at risk of neurological diseases. So I thought that was an interesting thing. But it may not just be antibiotics that put us at risk of neurological diseases, and I may deviate for just a moment to some other things as well. So people go, well, what is Parkinson's? For those that don't know, Parkinson's is a neurological movement disorder that involves muscle tremors, slower movement, stiff muscles, balance problems, and unsteady walk. Modern medicine says there's no cure. And a lot of cases involving a lot of neurological conditions tends to be blamed on the person's genetics. So how would a patient or even a family of a patient know if any better if they were told that by the doctor, oh, it's all about your genetics? So with regard to some neurological diseases, Pastor Butch, there are increased reports referring to a condition being a reaction between genetics and vaccines. And vaccines have the capacity to even change your DNA, and we've talked about that before on the show.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, leading-edge research group said this, one of the indicators that vaccines may in fact be changing the genetic structure of humans became evident in September 1971 when scientists at the University of Geneva discovered that biological substances entering directly into the bloodstream through inoculation becomes part of the human genetic structure. Also, Dr. Robert Simpson at Rutgers University, he in 1976 at the American Cancer Society seminar said this, persistence of long-term viruses and foreign proteins in vaccines has a unique and direct link to chronic and degenerative diseases. So they know that your inoculations can put you at risk of other diseases, so a vaccine-induced disease, if you will. So also I want to touch on this cover up here. German scientist Zinchenko, along with his colleagues, reported in October 1967, it was in the British Medical Journal, that the neurological diseases of multiple sclerosis was created when medical science used vaccines that contained smallpox, typhoid fever, tetanus, polio, tuberculosis, and diphtheria. In 1965, Zinchenko reported 12 cases of multiple sclerosis which directly followed anti-rabies vaccinations. Many of these vaccines used animal parts, and the first animal vaccines came to the United States in 1870 when Dr. Chereau knew of vaccines that were creating epidemics of disease in children. However, the medical establishment was bent on blaming the condition on hereditary, you know, your genetic code, or maybe even the environment.
So the vaccine, what you're saying here is vaccines cause a lot of diseases we're seeing that are commonplace today.
Yeah, but medicine says it's your genetic code, it's your heredity, you inherited the problem, so they're blaming it on the person. So the vaccines cause lesions on the brain that cause inflammation and even encephalitis. This affects neurological function in the person, and it can the person can have anything like tics or behavioral disturbances. So it's affecting the RNA, DNA, and your vaccines have been affecting our RNA and DNA for decades. The types of disorders that are being created by science, and science refused to admit that the vaccines are creating these changes in your human genetic code. So they refuse to see the vaccines are creating this domino effect, and with each generation, the genetic codes are further degraded, and the diseases are more prevalent and embedded in the gene code as they're passed on. So technically, they can say it's inherited, but it started with the vaccines as the culprit.
But you know, that is a phenomenal bit of information. So vaccines have caused a vast amount of the diseases we see today, just by everybody's troubled with. Vaccines caused it.
Well, I knew there something was wrong when Dr. Anthony Norris, who was the chief virologist of the FDA, and I had a conversation with him in the 90s. He used to be with the FDA in the 70s. He said that this is an artificial infection. That's what an inoculation is. It bypasses all the safeguards your immune system has been set up by our creator to alert the immune system that there's an invasion, there's an infection of some kind, a pathogen, and so chemically, the immune system is communicated with other areas of the body. So let's say you absorbed it in through food consumption. So the digestive tract has an immune system of its own, but it also communicates with your master immune system. Or if you breathe it in, your lungs also communicate, and so on and so forth. So the immune system is gathering information from the body on what this invasion is, and then by the time your fever kicks in and antibodies released, it's been working on building an antibody based on the information it got. But when you get a disease injected right into your bloodstream, the immune system is not alerted. It thinks it's supposed to be there. It makes no antibody. Okay,
wow.
So this is virology 101, really, and astonishing how the lies have been, you know, continuing, and some doctors have spoken up, and of course they get their careers on the line when they do that. But I've heard this from numerous virologists that, you know, that's how the immune system is set up naturally to work. And when you use a vaccine, it subjugates all that and even suppresses immune system function. Even Dr. Norris said even if you did have an antibody from a vaccine use, it's fleeting at best, as you're seeing with the COVID serum. So that's when I asked him. I said, well, is that what booster shots are all about? And he said, no. He says, if they gave you all the serum in one dose, it's so toxic it would kill you.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, let's get back to the antibiotic before we get off track too far. Now, this is a university hospital in Helsinki in Finland. This is the Finland research I mentioned. They are saying repeated or even high exposure to oral antibiotics increases the patient's risk of Parkinson's disease. So the antibiotics that produce the higher risk are the broad-spectrum antibiotics that are used for bacterial infections and even fungal infections. And most people, and even physicians, are not going to make this connection between the onset of Parkinson's disease and the antibiotic treatment due to the time that it takes for the disease to manifest, 10 to 15 years. Okay?
My goodness.
How does antibiotic cause, how do they cause Parkinson's disease? Well, it's a connection to the disruption in your gut flora. It changes the microbial ecosystem, how your digestive system works. Here's a quote from the lead researcher, Philippe Sinjenkin, MD, Department of Neurology in Helsinki. He says, the link between your antibiotic exposure and Parkinson's disease fits the current view that in a significant portion of patients with the pathology of Parkinson's, originating in their gut years before the onset of their symptoms. All Parkinson's patients have abnormal bacterial compositions in their digestive tract. Constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, inflammation of the bowel are all associated and consistent with Parkinson's disease. Exposure to antibiotics have shown to cause these changes, increasing the risk. End of quote. So according to this Finland study, Pastor Butch, they investigated what is called case-controlled study using a data set in their national registry. So they compared antibiotic exposure between the years of 1998 to 2014 involving more than 13,900 patients who developed Parkinson's disease. They compared this group to over 40,000 non-affected patients who matched their age, sex, and where they lived. The antibiotic exposure was looked at involving 1 to 5, 5 to 10, and 10 to 15-year segments based on the patient's antibiotic purchases. So this is where the database comes in. They filled their prescription. So the antibiotics were also categorized according to their chemical profiles, and the results showed the types of antibiotics that offer greater risk. The antimicrobial antibiotics, which have a drug combination of maybe penicillin and maybe a bacterial inhibitor in them. Examples would be amoxicillin and tetracycline. They offered a very high risk of Parkinson's disease if you were taking them over a long period of time. So, for instance, people that are put on tetracycline are often being treated for acne. And they may be on that 10 or 15 years from adolescence to young adulthood.
Wow.
Also, sulfur antibiotics, if you're on them from 1 to 5 year exposure, you're at risk. UTI, pneumonia, and diarrhea antibiotics, if you take them in a 1 to 5 year period, you're at risk. And antifungal drugs, also 1 to 5 year risk. So if you're on these on and off, or you have a long course of an antibiotic treatment, you're really at risk. Let's see, Dr. Philippe went on to say, our findings suggest that some commonly used antibiotics, which are known to strongly influence your gut biological balance, he says, could be a predisposing factor in Parkinson's disease. So they see this very strong link. And in other words, the use of certain types of antibiotics used repeatedly can produce this drug-induced neurological disease. But since it takes many years to manifest, the average health professional won't make this connection or warn patients about the possibility of developing Parkinson's later on. Finally, Dr. Philippe says, this discovery should have implications for antibiotic prescription practices in the future. In addition to the serious problem of antibiotic resistance, we need to take into account the potential of long-lasting effects on the gut system and the development of serious diseases that it can cause. End of quote. So remember in the 40s they called antibiotics the wonder drug, Dr. Pastor
mm-hmm,
Butch?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's because I wonder what it's going to give you.
That's a good point. That is a good point. You know, what you're saying today is so, we have been so well duped. We've been fooled for so long. Vaccines, antibiotics, all these are good for you. And they're causing the diseases that we're seeing as so prevalent today. They're killing people.
Well, here's the thing. I came across some research by the original developers of the mass-produced antibiotics back in the 40s, and they had started to see antibiotic-resistant bacteria before it really became in popular mass use. So within a short amount of time, it didn't take, you know, 5, 10 or, you know, more years. They saw it within 3 years. So they knew, and they didn't warn anybody, don't overprescribe this stuff.
Wow. My goodness. You know, with what we thought were wonder drugs, they really were a wonder. We wonder why we're dying to such numbers with diseases that 50 years ago, 60 years ago were very uncommon. We've been vaccinated to death.
Right. And some doctors have come out and said, you know, prior to the 80s, 1980s, there really wasn't really any autism to speak of. Something changed with vaccine use in the 80s. And what one pediatrician said, they started to combine the shots. So instead of getting a diphtheria shot or a pertussis shot, you got an MMR shot, you got measles,
right,
mumps, you know, all together in a shot.
Right.
Once they started doing that, that's when they saw a lot of these neurological problems crop up. Yeah.
And if the children don't get them, they can't go to school.
Well, see, this is the really horrifying thing. People don't realize that. They may have tested diphtheria, you know, in clinical trials and pertussis, but they didn't test MMRs in clinical trials. They
just
never
like,
tested
just like
the
tested
combination.
COVID.
They didn't. Well, they didn't test the combination serums. They just figured, oh, well, we've tested, you know, pertussis and we've tested this and that separately. So if we combine them, it should be fine. No, it's not fine. Something happens when you combine them. Yeah.
We're in that time so faster. But I know that back in the 50s when they came out with the polio vaccine, that they admitted that they put cancerous cells in the vaccine from monkey, also monkey pus and other things. They admitted that. And they had cancer cells put into the vaccines. And cancer rates started going up in the 50s and growing on to the 60s and 80s, right on up. It's been multiplying.
Well,
so
it was
it
depended on the batch you got. Certain batches went to different zones or segments of the United States, and those are the zones they tracked down to find people 40 years later had cancer. So they test serums in different areas of the world and the nation. Just like, so if you see an outbreak of, let's say, measles like we did a couple of years ago, you know, it was because they changed the serum, and later Canadian and American doctors noticed this serum was altered. This isn't a natural form of measles at all.
Oh, the time's up. Give me a number, Wendy.
Okay, 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Happy Valentine's Day sales going on, 20% off, and details are online or give us a call.
See you next week. Folks, back at the break. Don't go away. A lot to talk about.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk TeamUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we're back in. This is Pastor Butch Saul, and I'm filling in today for Melody Susan, like I normally do on Wednesday, so she can get caught up on some other things. And it's an honor that you trust me to do this, and it's an honor that you take time to join me on Wednesdays and Wednesday, Friday with Melody. It is. I thank you for being there, and thank you for joining us to our radio broadcast, 8 o'clock Monday night, p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Monday through Wednesday. I just want to thank y'all for your, just for being there with us. And be willing to learn the truth and stand up with us trying to expose what's happening in this world. And folks, as Wendy just said, we were so deceived with the vaccinations. I mean, growing up, polio was polio vaccine was a wondrous thing. They didn't tell us that polio was starting to leave the face of the earth on its own. Polio vaccines and, of course, smallpox vaccines, these were all wonder drugs. Now we see what's happening to us in the world, not just here, but in America. Also, people are dying of diseases that are so uncommon 50 years ago. It's folks, we've been trapped, as Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's what's happened to America. It's happened to a lot of us. Back to some economic news. This is something I thought was kind of interesting. It's entitled, I've never seen a market like this. Goldman sees shortages of everything, you name it, we're out of it. It's probably not the endorsement Biden's frailing administration wanted. In a time when social networks have been swamped with photos of empty shelves from across the nation, Goldman's head commodity strategist and one of the closest followed analysts on the Wall Street say he never seen commodity markets pricing and shortages like they are now, right now. I've been doing this for 30 years. I've never seen markets like this, Curie told Bloomberg TV in an interview on Monday. This is a molecule crisis. We're out of everything. I don't care if it's oil, gas, coal, copper, aluminum, you name it, we're out of it. In reversal of the event from April 2020, when the WTI oil briefly hit a negative 40 per barrel, as speculators paid others to take deliverable oil contracts off their hands as they had no storage for it, futures curves in several key markets are trading in super backwardation, a structure that indicates traders are paying bumper premiums for immediate supply. The downward sloping shape and prices is generally taken to mean commodities are severely undersupplied. So, folks, I don't know where this is heading, but he said the shortage of everything is translated into a record price of virtually all commodities. The Bloomberg Commodity Spot Index, which tracks 23 energy, metals, and crop futures, has touched a record this year. So we're going to see things really, I do believe, continue to rise at a very rapid price. As a matter of fact, and I'm reading an article to you by Peter Schiff, they said we may see gasoline at $10 a gallon. I don't like that. I can't imagine. You know, I go now and you buy $20 of gasoline. You might get anywhere from, depends where you are, 6 to 7 gallon for $20. It's high, but we can do that a little bit. That'll get you to town and back at least probably. You're for a short trip. But $10 a gallon? Peter Schiff said the Fed is going to lose the inflation fight. The markets continue to brace for the Fed's impending inflation fight, but as Peter explained in his podcast, they're not bracing for the Fed to lose that fight. And the Fed is going to lose that fight. Oil hit 7-year highs last week with a price over $92 a barrel. This is yet another indication that we've yet to hit peak inflation. The price of oil is already up 23% on the year. Folks, you hear that? 23% on the year already. Oil also got off to a strong start in 2021. It rose 18% through the first week in February. Peter said that seems to support his belief that inflation will be worse in 2022 than it was in 2021. The Fed is hanging its hat on the fact that it thinks the inflation rate will come down. that the supply shortages are going to dissipate and that the bottlenecks are going to unclog. And so there's not going to be much inflation in 2022 as there was in 2021. The reality is there's going to be more. Peter said there's nothing but blue skies in front of the price of oil. Oil had its last big peak in 2008 at just under $150 a barrel. But at that time, the dollar was extremely weak with the dollar index in the 70s. Today, the dollar index is above 95. Also, the discount rate is in 2008 was over 6% at the high point in the cycle. Today, the discount rate is at 0.25%, the low of the cycle. My point is that the dollar has a lot of room to fall, and interest rates have a lot of room to rise before we break the back of the oil bull market. The 2008 financial crisis broke oil back in 2008. Peter said that's not going to happen, at least not immediately. I think as the Fed starts to raise interest rates, they're not going to come near 6.25%. We're not going to get rates nearly high enough to start to impact the demand for oil or bend the inflation curve, and the dollar has a long way to fall. And as it falls, that's going to put upward pressure on oil prices. So if the price of oil could peak at $150 a barrel with a 6.25% Fed funds rate, and a 75 DXY, where is it going to peak this time? Peter said we could see oil at $300 a barrel by the time it peaks. Imagine U.S. economy if gas went to $10 a gallon. Folks, we discussed this last few months of the year, said oil was going to go over $100 a barrel probably the first part of 2022. Well, it hit $92. That's very close. Now they're saying it'll go at least $200 this year. Peter said it may go to $300 because of the strength of the dollar and other factors. If that is true, my question is, how are we going to afford to travel, do anything, even go to work? Who's going to take up the slack in our paychecks? Who's going to take up the slack when it comes to buying food? Because everything's going to be moved by truck or by train. I mean, fuels are going to be going up, going through the roof. Who's going to cover the difference in price in the stores? How are we going to do it? These are serious things to ask ourselves. Very serious thing to ask yourself. If the dollar inflates itself out of reason, and I say itself because it's a fiat currency, it has no choice but to inflate. It can't help but inflate. It's a fiat currency. It's backed by nothing. It's supported by nothing but thin air, so to speak. People believing it's worth something, so we take them in trade. We hand somebody a $100 bill. It's a green piece of paper with $100 written on it. It's the same value as a piece of paper with $1 written on it. It's the same piece of paper, just a different number. What makes it worth more? Because it has a bigger number. That's all right. A $1 bill made out of the same material that a $100 bill is. We think it's worth more because it says 100 on, so we take it in trade as $100, and a dollar is actually so much an ounce of silver. That's what a legal dollar is. This is nothing but a piece of paper. So they print ones and fives and tens and twenties and fifties and hundreds, and they're all the same value, folks, a piece of paper. So it has to inflate. There's nothing there to make it not inflate. If you could take that $1 bill and go to the bank and get a silver dollar out of it, a real silver dollar, that's at least 90% silver, or take the $100 bill and go to the bank and get 100 silver dollars, then you'd have value. You'd have something worthwhile to trade and barter with. But because the people in America are naive, we all are, we all have been, we'll take these pieces of paper and think we're actually trading something of substance for a product that is substance. Eventually, people catch on to this ploy, and the dollar will finally collapse to nothing. And when it does, it's going to be a hard hit for many, many, many people. So let those figures sink your head a minute. Let those things sink your head. A $1 bill is the same value as a $100 bill, as far as its natural worth, because it's still just a piece of paper. Let that sink in. You don't trade it for anything of more value. You don't trade a dollar bill for a silver dollar. You don't trade a $100 bill for $100 silver dollars. You can't do it any longer. They don't make them anymore. You can't go to the bank and get them. You can get silver dollars if you call Melody and order them, but they're going to cost you more than a buck a piece because silver has went up to, it'll be at least $20, I would think, for a silver dollar, maybe more, $23 maybe, because the price, more than that, probably closer to $25, $26, because the price of silver has went up and the piece of paper has done nothing but shrink. Let that sink in a bit. That's why We can tell you to call Melody at 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188, and get some real money, tangible money, real money by you in your hands, and then you, and put it back somewhere and use it in the future. While they still take paper trade for it, get it while you can. I think it just makes common sense. Supply chain disruptions. Ford Motor Company tumbled into a bear market after a fourth quarter profit and sales missed Wall Street's expectation. Chief Executive Jim Farley warned of persistent supply chain disruptions, limiting its ability to meet strong demand. Reuters reports the Detroit automaker will shutter 8 factories in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada beginning on Monday as it copes with chip shortages. Now, folks, who would have thought that a dime chip would shut down factories for cars? And please don't think this is something that isn't planned. This has been planned for years. They want us in electric automobiles, folks. They really do. They truly do. And I got a question to ask. This is just a simple question. If the power grids are collapsing because the weather in Texas is 20 degrees and they can't handle the load, how are they going to power up 30 million electric vehicles every night? Just a question. So productions at factories in Michigan, Chicago, and Colotlan, Mexico, will be suspended. In Kansas City, production of its F-150 pickup trucks will be idle, while the one shift will run for production of its transit vans. The Detroit automaker will also run a single shift or a reduced schedule at its factories in Dearborn, Kentucky, and Louisville, while remaining overtime at the Oakville factory in Canada. All changes will be placed for the week beginning February 7th. So it's already in place. And, folks, if the plants are idle, of course, it means workers are laid off. Now, I'm sure they get unemployment, and I'm sure they still maybe survive for a while. But that's still laid off workers. That's non-production. That's the production not coming out. The cars aren't being produced, and obviously it should make a little slow in supply line, which probably means prices will go up again on automobiles. Used car price, I'm going to share with you a minute, went through the roof. They said they're going to decline in the near future, but I don't know whether they are or not. I have no idea. But they sure went through the roof in the last year, year and a half. But again, production, if you depend on a foreign manufacturer to make your parts, and they don't make them, American workers are out of work. Something to think about again. Used car prices arrive at yet another major inflection point. The Manheim Used Vehicle Value Index, a wholesale tracker of used car prices, rose to a new record high in January. Prices of wholesale used cars continue to move higher. Still, there are emerging signs momentum wanes on a monthly basis, which may suggest another potential inflection point. This one may actually be credible in light of growing speculation that supply chains are easing as chip shortages may improve. Well, I just read to you that Ford shut down 8 factories. This one's saying chip shortage may improve. Well, I guess that's possibly the way. We'll have to find out what happens with that in the near future. But it doesn't look like it right now. I have seen no change in used car prices, at least not the downward turn. Over the last year, the used car market boomed because of chip shortage for new vehicles. The latest data from Manheim shows that even though prices increased for January, momentum is stalling, and in fact reversing. Manheim Used Vehicles Index expanded by 236.3 last month, up to 45% from a year ago. The non-adjusted price change declined about 8% compared to December, leaving an unadjusted share average price of 48.8% year over year. That is still a huge increase, is it not? I do watch the price of automobiles. I've always kind of intrigued me what the price of cars are. And I look at people now that are buying cars. Now, this is a fact. A couple just bought a new vehicle the other day, 7 years of payments of $770 a month. 7 years of payments, 84 months, at almost $800 a month. That is absolutely insane. That would buy a nice home for that kind of price, extend out another 3 years. You're paying more for an automobile than you could buy a home for. I'm sure it may not be a fancy home. It may be a mobile home, but it's a roof over your head and a place to sleep. It's hard to live in a vehicle. Unbelievable. And this shouldn't be a surprise to us. Pfizer expects $54 billion in 2022 sales on COVID vaccine and treatment pill. Imagine that. Pfizer making a profit over the vaccine in appeal. Gee, it's not about money at all. Pfizer projects it will generate record high revenue in 2022, saying Tuesday it expects to sell $32 billion of its COVID-19 shots and $22 billion of the antiviral coronavirus treatment pill Paxlovid this year. Can you imagine that, folks? My mind can go that big. So they're talking about $54 billion in business this year, because of COVID-19 shots and a pill that they don't even know that works. The vaccines don't work. That's been proven. They don't work. They do not work. Matter of fact, they're killing people. We'll discuss that more in a minute. And I don't know about the pill. I can't imagine it working either. But $54 billion and Pfizer alone. That's not counting Moderna and Johnson, the rest of them. That's just one. That's Pfizer. $54 billion in business this year projected. That is absolutely a phenomenal amount of money that's way above what most people can comprehend. And they're doing it with a virus, with a vaccine that's proven not to work. As a matter of fact, I'll show you in a minute, insurance companies who are not paying death benefits for those who die after they get the vaccine, because the vaccine, they say, killed them, or they can't prove it did or didn't. So it's an experimental shot, and they're not going to pay out. That is actually happening. So Pfizer makes $54 billion in potential sales this year. And people who have life insurance, if somebody dies after get the vaccine, may not get paid. There's something uneven about that, isn't there? Something just doesn't sound right. By the way, this story's out of France, but the company will not pay because the shot has been ruled experimental. Says life insurance company refuses to pay out life insurance policy because death was from experimental COVID-19 vaccine. This is out of France. But folks, believe me, if one company gets by with it in France, this will come to good old U.S. of A. and Canada and other places. Insurance companies are not known to pay out money they don't have to pay out. Is that a fair statement? So they said the side effects of the experimental vaccine are being made public, and the deceased could not claim ignorance when the voluntary took this vaccine. This ruling in France went to court, and the judge ruled the vaccine knowledge of being dangerous was public. So there's no law to mandate that France force that. There's no law making him get vaccinated in France. So therefore, his death was an accident. It was essentially a suicide. They ruled his death a suicide because he took an experimental vaccine knowing there were side effects, and he ruled it suicide. Coming to a company near you real soon. Plan for the future, folks. Plan for the future of your family. 800-375-4188.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, folks, we're back in. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and I'm filling today from Ellie Siderstrom for Financial Survival. And you can again call her, and I wish you would, and ask some questions about these things, folks. 800-375-4188. Let me ask you this. Now, I think this is a simple question. This is the way I figured it, and that's why I've tried to put something back tangible for my family. Would I rather leave them a $50,000 piece of paper that said my insurance is going to pay you $50,000 after I'm dead and gone? They're going to pay you $50,000 on that. That's a promise they will, but the contract could be broken, as it was with this case with the man who died after getting the vaccine. Would you leave him $50,000 in gold and silver that they always cash in for something or trade for something else of value? Which would you prefer, a tangible item in your hand that's definitely worth something, or a piece of paper with a contract that could be voided because you got the vaccine? That's a common sense question. Maybe we'll give yourself a common sense answer. You better call Melody up, 800-375-4188. The next article, I just shake my head and look at this and think, this really can't be happening, but it is. We all know who Kellogg's is. Kellogg's cereal, Kellogg's makes a lot of products. I mean, they were one time, I guess, a good wholesome company, I suppose, when it started out in a decent moral basis, but that sure has changed. Kellogg Foundation bankrolls $500 monthly income for illegal aliens. Oh my gosh. And I know we buy the products. I know we're all guilty of that. The left wing, I didn't write this. This came out of Breitbart by John Binder. The left wing W.K. Kellogg Foundation, which effectively controls the Kellogg company, is bankrolling a pilot program that will provide hundreds of illegal aliens living in the United States with a guaranteed basic income. A coalition of activist organizations has teamed up to institute the pilot program across 13 counties in New Mexico, where 330 illegal alien households will receive monthly payments of $500 for the next year. The W.K. Kellogg Foundation is bankrolling the program, local media reports. The New Mexico Economic Relief Working Group has partnered with Up Together, a national nonprofit, to provide the monthly payments to qualified families beginning in March. The coalition says that the New Mexico Immigrant GBI Project will be the first statewide guaranteed basic income effort. ERWG says 330 families from 13 New Mexico counties, including Donna Ana County, will receive monthly payments of $500 for 12 months beginning in March. The payments will be delivered through direct deposit or prepaid, and there's no conditions on what the money can be used for. Funding is coming from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation and Up Together, a new news release service states. Kellogg's, effectively controlled by the left-wing W.K. Kellogg Foundation, has been financially involved in leftist advocacy groups' efforts for years, including John Podesta's Center for American Progress, Black Lives Matter, racially divisive Open Borders organizations, billionaire George Soros' Open Society Foundation, the Far Left Tides Foundation, and GLAAD, among others. GLAAD, of course, is the sexual perversion organization for men and boys and all the other perverts out there. So this, unbelievable. I'm looking at this and thinking, Kellogg's, a company that produces food. I mean, gee whiz, I mean, how far are we going to let this go? When are we going to say, how are we going to stop it? I mean, you going to quit eating Kellogg's products? I wish we could. I would and could. I guess we could if you really had enough gumption to do it. And it needs done. So it is what it is, folks. I didn't make it up. I mean, somebody that we've all supported with our funds and by feeding their family with these products, who knows what the products are any longer? If they're that low to do those things, do you think they really care about what you're eating? Think about that. Now, this should make a few people upset in Georgia, I would think. It wouldn't be if it's happening in West Virginia. Georgia lawmakers file bill to exempt law enforcement from state income taxes. What? They're going to make them a special class? They're going to be above the average citizen? They're going to be tax exempt because they're doing a job they're hard to do? That the taxpayers are paying for them to do? What? A handful of lawmakers in Georgia have filed legislation to exempt sworn peace officers from paying state income taxes. House Bill 992 was filed on Wednesday by Republican State Representative Rick Williams, Bill Hitchens, Matthew Campbell, Alan Powell, and Stan Gunter. I said Republican, folks. I said Republican. Hitchens previously served as the colonel of the Georgia State Patrol, and his son, Billy Hitchens, is now second in command for the agency. Representative Gunter previously served as the executive director of the Prosecuting Attorney Council of Georgia, and Powell previously served as the chair of the House Public Safety Committee. The single-page bill, which had been assigned to the House Ways and Means Committee, calls for the full exemption of the Peach State's income tax payments for law enforcement officers charged with enforcing criminal laws and exercising the power of arrest. They're going to be tax exempt in the state of Georgia from state income taxes if they're law enforcement. Folks, there's something just not right about that. That makes other people, in my mind, a second-class citizen who does not deserve a tax break. That bothers me more than a little bit. I don't know how, or if the people will tolerate this, and I can't believe that, well, Republicans and Democrats are basically the same party longer anyway, so it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Republicans introduced it to let them not pay income taxes when they're being paid by taxpayer money already. Well, let's move on. White House authorizes U.S. troops in Poland to spearhead Ukraine evacuation plan. I still wonder if anything's about to happen over there or not. There's a lot of smoke there, but is it our doing? Are we putting up smoke signals as a nation to fool the people, to scare the people? I don't know. Is this really going to happen, or is this more of the U.S. games to looking glass off of Biden administration and what's happening in the economy? Is this a way to scare us away from seeing the truth behind what's going on in this country? Is to get us involved in another war somewhere, or at least a pretended war? You know, through all the years of what we call the Cold War, and I grew up with that. I did. Military contractors made fortunes of war preparations. Fortunes, because people were scared of nuclear attack. I remember they would have us crawl on their desk and cover our heads. I'm serious. If a bomb was going to be dropped, just crawl on your desk and cover your head. You'll be safe. This is the nonsense they did. Well, this is not any different. Are they going to scare us away from what's happening and get us on the mind of something else so we won't pay attention to what's going on in our country? Apparently fearing another Afghan evacuation disaster, the White House has approved a new Pentagon plan authorizing U.S. troops currently in Poland to spearhead the evacuation of Americans in Ukraine in the event of Russian invasion. At this point, it's being described as a contingency plan, but requiring the necessary logistics to be in place with troops on standby. According to details revealed in the Wall Street Journal, some of the 1,700 troops from the 82nd Airborne Corps being deployed to Poland to bolster that ally will be coming days. To bolster that ally will in coming days begin to set up checkpoints, tent camps, and other temporary facilities inside Poland's border with Ukraine in preparation to serve arriving Americans, U.S. officials said. However, the official cautioned that the troops are not authorized to enter Ukraine and won't evacuate Americans or fly aircraft missions from inside Ukraine. Instead, the officials said the mission would be to provide logistic support to help coordinate the evacuation of Americans from Poland after they arrived there from Kyiv and other parts of Ukraine, likely by land without U.S. military support, the officials said. So, I don't know. This keeps going on and on and on. Some people think we'll be at war with Russia in a matter of days. I don't know who's telling the truth here. Is it imminent? From the news we're seeing, it looks like it could be. But is it something that I'm too concerned about? Well, Not in a sense that I think that war is imminent, but it is possible things could happen they escalate things at a very rapid pace. So I really don't know what to say about that. It is something that, in my mind, U.S. media and U.S. government cannot be trusted for good morning. Just the way, that's all I can say about that. It's just not possible to trust them at all. This next article, I think, folks, you'll find interesting also because, in my mind, it's justifying a crime and killing people. Justice Department considers allowing safe havens for addicts where users can legally shoot up. And let me repeat that. Giving a safe haven for addicts where users can legally shoot up. Two injection sites have already been opened in New York City and San Francisco. Center has left nearby streets littered with needles. Right here in West Virginia, they're debating right now to put up housing for the homeless. It breaks my heart to see homeless people. It does. But to encourage it only makes it multiply. To encourage it means let's go to West Virginia. Housing there's free. We can live like we want to and have a shelter at night. We can do drugs. We can do what we want to do and not be bothered by the cops. It's a place of shelter. The same thing here with the drug situation. The Justice Department says it may be open to allowing safe injection sites, places where people can use other narcotics with protections against fatal overdoses a year after winning a major court battle against their opening. The department said it's evaluating such facilities and talking to regulators about appropriate guardrails in response to questions from the Associated Press. The position is a drastic change from the stance in the Trump administration when prosecutors fought vigorously against a plan to open safe consumption site in Philadelphia. The Justice Department won a lawsuit to top stop a safe consumption facility. It should be two stops. It says top stop. So they won a lawsuit to stop a safe consumption facility from opening in Philadelphia last year, but the Supreme Court declined to take the case in October. About 6 weeks later, the first officially authorized safe injection sites opened in New York City in November. The two facilities in East Harlem and Washington Heights, which the city calls overdose prevention centers, have intervened in more than 125 overdoses among more than 640 users. Meanwhile, folks, this is sad. Photos from a new linkage center aimed at connecting homeless street addicts with drug rehab facilities in San Francisco released last month show why many residents are opposed to having such facilities in their neighborhoods. Addicts are pictured sitting on the ground among trash, empty food containers, and dirty blankets as they fumble in their drug paraphernalia in cold winter to get a fix. Folks, to encourage it doesn't change it. To encourage crime of any kind doesn't delete crime in any way. Bible tells in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, that when a criminal is not punished quickly, it's in the hearts of men to commit more crime. To encourage drug use, to encourage homelessness, does him no good. Temporary help, perhaps, and help for the druggies if they want out of it. But you can't save them all if they don't want help. It's really a sad situation. But that's America today. And San Jose, Mayor, you remember last week before last, I mentioned they were going to make people pay buy insurance if they own a gun in San Jose, California. Well, San Jose mayor talks about seizing guns from owners who don't pay the city fee. Oh, yeah, it's coming, folks. San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo, Democrat, spoke to Slate about seizing firearms from people who refuse to pay the city's new $25 gun owner's fee or comply with the city's new liability insurance requirements for gun owners. Brit Barr's News reported that San Jose City Council passed the fee ordinance and liability insurance ordinance on January 25, 2022. Slate notes the city fee is $25 and quotes Mayor Liccardo saying the funds collected will go to a foundation overseen by Stanford professors and an epidemiologist who's been focused on gun harm and nonprofit experts who understand domestic violence prevention programs, suicide prevention. Liccardo explained that the ordinance requiring a fee is civil rather than criminal in nature. However, he made clear that failure to pay the fee can result of seizure of a firearm. It's not criminal, but still mandatory. I do believe there's a court ruling in Illinois. I believe the Illinois Supreme Court ruled that you cannot charge an extra tax for a gun and ammunition just because it's guns and ammunition. I'll be interested to see if this goes to court or not in San Jose. to charge somebody $25 to own a gun and make them buy liability insurance is to force them to contract with somebody they don't want to contract with, which is totally unlawful and by any standard of law in this country that I know of. But they do it every day with the cars, don't they? I believe in insurance on cars? I think people should try to, if they have an accident, should be able to pay their bills. But to force someone to take insurance, to make them have insurance, is not much different than forced to take a vaccination. It's forcing them to contract, do something maybe against their will. You figure it out. I don't know. I'm not here to say either way, but I know that I have something inside me that just doesn't like to be forced. And very another quick article here. Alberta is dropping their Alberta, Canada, dropping the vax passport after tractor convoy pressures government, but they shut down Ambassador Bridge out of Windsor, Ontario, and in Detroit. Said this could bring the auto industry to a screeching halt within 48 hours in Canada. A lot of goods pass back and forth over the bridge to Canada. They said we have 38 trucks across the Detroit border per day, and 16 in Sarnia. So they said that with these trucks without the parts, will bring this auto industry in Canada and Vaughan, Ontario, to more or less a screeching halt within 2 days. So the truckers are doing the job, and they're getting people's attention. That's what they have to do, folks. Well, I'll be back on my program tonight at 8 o'clock tonight, and I'll see you all Friday with Melody. Have a wonderful night. Dave will be with you tomorrow.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.